to the US we go. And Susan Davis is Congressional Correspondent for NPR and co-host of the NPR Politics podcast. She's in Washington, D.C. The presidential race, gosh, we're down to a little over 2 weeks. Susan, it's getting close.
Oh, the home stretch. It's finally here. And, you know, our elections run so long in this country, it's hard to believe that we're only 15 days away from the election. But certainly intensifying. I mean, you know, millions of people have already cast ballots in this country. Early voting in many states started happening a week or so ago. A significant amount of this vote is expected to be cast. Upwards of maybe 60% of the vote will already be cast by the time we get to Election Day. So we're really in the thick of it. And in the close, especially over the weekend, Joe Biden and President Trump have been traveling to the states that they see critical to their election math to get them a win and hearing sort of their closing messages in this race.
What are some of the standouts of the last sort of 24, 48 hours? President really having a go at Dr. Fauci, really doubling down.
Certainly, you know, that started over the weekend in Georgia, where the president had a rally through to today, where he has been attacking Anthony Fauci, the doctor who heads up the infectious disease effort in this country. Really standard Trump in the terms of personal grievance. He has really spent the most recent days of the race lashing out against his critics, against his political opponents. He has been critical of his own attorney general for not doing more to investigate the Biden family. He's been critical of the news media, of naming reporters in particular, and trying to undermine the moderator of the upcoming debate this week. He's been attacking the Biden family personally. Very familiar, but very personal. Not really about bigger themes, not about sort of the traditional closing messages we hear in this country. Joe Biden has, in contrast, really, one, stayed largely quiet. You know, he has not, when President Trump is driving the news, he tries to stay out of it because that has tended to benefit Biden well in this campaign. He is out campaigning. His events are quite different, where the president has resumed large in-person rallies. Joe Biden is still doing a more socially distanced campaign. When he has events, people wear masks. He wears masks. He's taken to doing events in sort of like drive-in theater style, where people come and stay in their cars and don't get out and don't get near each other. Biden has focused, you know, pretty closely and almost singularly on the pandemic. It is still the single greatest concern of people's lives in this country. And he has created the starkest contrast with Trump in saying, I take it more seriously. I'll believe the scientists and I'll get us out of this. Where the president in the close has sort of shifted to sort of say, you don't have much to worry about. You know, I had it. I feel great now. We need to live our lives. We need our freedoms. If people are on the fence, they have two very stark different messages to choose from, especially if this is the number one driving issue for why people will vote this year.
It's been interesting to compare with what happened in the 2016 election, I think just 17 days out. I mentioned this last week to Ron. The then contender Hillary Clinton had a significant lead in the popular vote, and we know that's not the key vote, but it was a significant lead in the popular vote. A lot can happen in the last 2 weeks, perhaps not as much as what happened to her.
Yeah.
Where are we at, though, with things like early voting and some of the other underlying factors, turnout that might indicate whether this is going to be close and whether there's still room for big twists and turns?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because early voting, one thing we have seen in states that are doing early voting, early in-person voting and mail-in voting across the country, people and local election officials are reporting record levels already of turnout at this point in this race, of ballots being returned, of people standing in long lines to vote. The enthusiasm seems to be there, and that is why election experts across the political spectrum, nonpartisan election experts, have been forecasting that this could be the highest election turnout in American history by percentage of or per capita of eligible voters. The enthusiasm is there, and I think that this is part of the bet that the Trump campaign is making, that they're saying they recognize that in the polls we've seen, the national polls and most of the swing state polls, he is behind. And their argument is these polls are simply wrong because they are underestimating the voters that will show up and vote for Donald Trump. This was a similar argument. He made this argument in 2016, and in some ways it was correct. He went on to win that election, although obviously Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, and it was a very narrow election. What's a little bit different this time around is that, well, one, Joe Biden's not Hillary Clinton, and he's got personally more popular and higher favorability ratings than she did at this point in the race. And Biden has also been able to eat into key demographics that loved Donald Trump in 2016, that voted for him by huge margins, one being senior citizens, people over the age of 65, especially white voters over the age of 65, really voted for Trump in large numbers in 2016. Also a group of voters that really didn't like Hillary Clinton. And that's really different this time around. Seniors have really been drawn to Joe Biden. In some ways, the president's attacks on Joe Biden's mental fitness for the job have backfired a bit. You know, turns out seniors don't like it so much when you sort of attack an older American's mental acuity. The pandemic, I think, has turned a lot of seniors against the president, not just because their age group has been disproportionately offended, but affected. But as Joe Biden noted a couple days ago at a campaign event, you know, how many grandparents haven't been able to hug their grandkids this year? How many don't know when they're going to be able to hug them again? And that has really resonated with seniors in a way that I think could really impact this race, because in the state of Florida, there is a significant senior population. And Donald Trump won in 2016. He doesn't absolutely have to win Florida to win, but there, if he doesn't, there's a very, very difficult path to get there. Florida on election night is one of those nights, or one of those states, that if they call it for Joe Biden on election night, the chances that Joe Biden's going to win this election go up astronomically. So we really see the two candidates focused on a really, really, really narrow band of states at this point in time, because they both have just very specific pathways to get to the electoral votes they need to win.
It is the extraordinary thing, of course, about your system.
Yes.
And
you really, frustrating to many Americans.
You do have to wait for the night to see just which way some of those tight races flip. And goodness, go back to the hanging chads, dare I bring it up, sometimes you have to wait longer than that. Is there frustration in the president's camp that he is still fighting some of these fires rather than focusing on the economy and saying, look, we were humming before this thing hit, and we are the party to get us humming again? I don't know whether it's the nature of the reporting, to be fair, or whether he just seems to constantly get digressed. To digress, rather.
I think it's a combination of the two. I mean, certainly he focuses on the economic message, and polling suggests that many voters still do think the Republican Party and Donald Trump over Joe Biden would be better to turn the economy around after the pandemic. But he just can't focus on one message. And good campaigns, well-run campaigns, have clear, defined messages they hammer over and over and over. And Donald Trump creates all of his own distractions. He drives all of the news cycles. You know, Joe Biden has almost never been able to steal the news away from Donald Trump in this election. And it's one thing that Donald Trump is masterful at, but it can have negative consequences. And so I think that it's certainly been a frustration for a lot of the Republicans down the ballot, the lawmakers, House members of the House and members of the Senate, who are also up for re-election this year and very much tied to the fate of what happens to Donald Trump, that if he could just focus on a more positive message, on a more economically driven message, they might not be as deep in the hole as they are now. And so I think that they're relying at this point not on necessarily Donald Trump to deliver that message, but to rely on voters' sort of innate sense, many voters' innate sense, that maybe the Republican Party, even if you don't like all the drama, might still be the better party to get your economic security back the way you had it before the pandemic.
Susan, thank you. We'll look forward to the next 2 weeks and to the big day, of course. US correspondent Susan Davis.